girls, gays, allies, and anybody that wants to learn more about the LGBT plus community. My name is Zanardi, and I'm so glad all your beautiful faces are here. Hello, everyone. Woo! It's been a busy week, huh? Trump and TikTok in a cold war. COVID cases rising. Ooh, spooky. Well, I had a wonderful conversation with our guest today. Deep, too. Talked about addictions and coping with pain and unhealthy manners. Growing up as a gay person of color and just the societal and cultural implications that come with that. We even discussed the therapeutic use of psychedelics. Trippy. And overall, just a wonderful conversation. Some great topics were brought up. Learned a lot. So guys, gals, non-binary pals, give it up for my friend Anthony McDaniel. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you just introduce yourself? Just tell the audience who you are.
Oh, well, my name is Anthony. I'm a token 808 across all platforms. I'm a black, queer, I guess, content creator at this point on TikTok more than anything else.
Oh, yeah.
Musician and an aspiring actor.
Aspiring actor. Love that. So what got you started on TikTok? What inspired you to begin that work?
I think it's not even it's a cliche for me. I didn't go on TikTok like, I'm going to be an activist. I'm going to talk about rights and injustices. I got on TikTok, one, sure, out of a boredom one day. And, you know, like, this is back in, I can't say back in, it feels like forever ago, but last October.
Mm-hmm.
Out of boredom, because I saw people just talking about it, and I was like, man, it's not that big of a deal, and I got on it and immediately was addicted.
Yeah.
And that was a lurker more than anything else. Like, I spent like probably a good month of just being like one of the people who just like 3 a.m. just watching TikTok because it was hilarious at the time.
Right.
I got brave one day and was just like, because I'm a natural, like, I've done theater my entire high school career, community stuff, so I'm a performer. And I got that itch needed scratching. So I just, like, made one and started.
What was one of your first videos?
Oof. God, the cringe. Uh-huh. My first video that I created was literally talking about being black and gay when I think back on it. So I think I have a couple yearbooks around, and I took my 8th grade picture being like, what? Like, in quotations, me being like, what? No, I'm not gay. Then freshman year being like, I don't know, maybe. And then like senior year being like, all right, like, I know I'm gay, but like, I'm not going to tell anybody until it's time to graduate. It's like, and then like my graduation photo being like, it's time, I'm coming out, it's going to be so awesome. And then like cut to like me like, oh my God, and in the background I have the song from Lizzie McGuire movie, Hey Now, Hey Now, this is what dreams, like literally, but like cut to me being like, this is going to be so awesome. And it's just like me in bed, like opening Grindr to just like BBC question mark.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Body pics, just the trash that is like, so I think it was just like going from being like extremely hopeful and excited to be like, I'm out now, I get to be me, and just like, oh, it's, I mean, it got better, obviously, but you're just like,
sure. But it's like that downside of being gay, or that toxic side of gay culture that like we all experience at some point.
That you have no idea about before you come out, because everyone's just like, it gets so much better. There's a lovely world waiting for you. You don't even know. And then you find out, you're like, nah, I didn't. I had no idea.
So you came out after high school?
Yes, I came out. So I graduated in 2012 and I came out in 2013.
Okay, so fairly after, like right after, pretty much.
Yeah, the year after.
How was that? Did you come out to your friends first, or your family, or what did that look like?
So my coming out was, what can we talk about?
Oh, we can talk about everything. By the way, I forgot to mention we can cuss on this
cool,
is a TikTok. So we can get deep and whatever we want.
Well, for me, my coming out was crazy. Because at the time, I don't know if it tells in the vibe that I get off, but I'm like fairly hippie-ish. Like, I can't say fairly hippie-ish. I walked through high school with a fucking like a peace sign and bracelets up to here. And I was just known as, like, a stoner kid. Like,
yeah.
And I got brave, and I've always been just an experimental person. And my motto, I'm not condoning or telling anybody, but for me, I was always like, I want to be aware of something rather than just like, so like, you remember like the old ads against like DARE and stuff, where it's just like
the above, whole DARE program. Above the influence. And yeah.
But my motto going through high school was like, under the influence, but above the ignorance. Like, I wanted to know. Mm. So there's obviously drugs that I wasn't okay with trying because I wasn't going to do anything that was going to be detrimental to my health or my physical body or whatever.
Sure.
But I started experimenting with psychedelics going into my senior year. And that turned into like a year later. It became like a heavy, heavy coping mechanism because I don't know, like, your experience with psychedelics, but like, it's kind of a thing where it's like, if you're going through something, it's not a recreational type of drug to do. It's not something that you should do for fun.
Right.
Especially as a queer Black person who is like in the closet very heavily, like hiding things from his friends and family, going on like hookup sprees and just like coming and hang out and just like living a double life. Basically,
because it kicks your butt, right? Like, so I, full disclosure, I haven't done psychedelics, but that yet it's like I'm ready for it and it's on my agenda. Right. And the reason I say I haven't done it yet, although presented the opportunity, was because I was in the closet and I was kind of aware, like, I'm like, I am not ready for this. So, but it does, it kicks, it kind of awakens your self-realization to an extent, right?
Yeah, like the way I talk about it is, it's like whatever's in the back of your mind, whatever you're suppressing, whatever you're not talking about, it's on full display in front of your face, and everything you're seeing, like your subconscious is inserting itself into the conversation. So for me, I was already dealing with like the anxiety and depression. And, you know, I think the same thing, party culture for people and my, well, I can't say my generation, but like going through high school, like, you know, start smoking and drinking and doing stuff at such an early age before you learn how to cope with things, like with your emotions and what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
So it can become a crutch, basically. So, and you don't even realize it because you're so young.
Right.
So that translates to 5 years later, I've been using the same coping mechanism and it's stopping, like it's not working anymore. It's like my depression got to the place where I was just like, I would hang out with my friends, but I would go sit outside for like 3 hours just by myself, just because you're like, you got something you want to talk about, but you're like, I don't know how to talk about this.
Yeah.
So I was already in such a weird place. And then I started doing more psychedelics. Like when I say from the span of, and I remember it because it was from February to May, I was probably doing like acid every weekend just for the fun of it. Just, I don't know, but just doing it. It's the point where I had a mental breakdown. I was paranoid to the point where I was just like, someone's gonna help me, something's gonna happen, like someone's gonna find my receipts, they're gonna put it on Facebook, they're gonna do whatever.
Yeah, so, they're gonna out you ultimately. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I don't know, my irrational mind wanted to get ahead of it. I was just like, you know what, I want to be the person, if anyone's gonna out me, it's gonna be me.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I sat with my, because I was raised by my great grandmother, so I sat with her and talked with her just to be like, you know, before I tell anybody else, I have to tell you because I live here and I need to know if I still have a place to stay after this.
Yeah.
So we sat and we had a conversation and it went lovely. I mean, just the typical things that are said, you know, were like, she was like, you know, I heard, she's like, I just don't want you, like, I don't know. I just translated to just like being like, she thought I was like coming out as transgendered or just something, like, it was all lumped together. So she's like, don't wear dresses, don't do this, that, and the other. And I was just like, I mean, that's my choice. If I decide to do that, I'm going to do that. But like, that's not what this is.
It was the like, it's okay, we love you, just don't be that gay.
Yes, basically. Yeah. And then I personally like called and messaged each one of my closest friends at the time individually and had a conversation with them.
First thing, I want to thank you all for listening. Before we hear more about Anthony's coming out to friends, I want to tell you about Manscaped. Okay, so if you're a man, do you go to the gym or moisturize your face or brush your teeth? Well, sounds like you're taking good care of yourself. You're doing a good job. Pat yourself on the back. But what about those little guys down there? Those little guys down there could be easier, a little smoother. Manscaped is the number one and only men's grooming brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming. And I freaking love it. I used to cut myself all the time. I'd freak out. Are my balls going to fall out? Why is there so much blood? But now, thanks to Manscaped, I don't worry. I use their Lawnmower 3.0. It's a cordless, waterproof, cutting-edge design just for your parts. Body trimmer. You can even reach around the back. And you can have it with... It can. And just take my word. So you can have it with 20% off and free shipping using code GAYFAM20. That's code GAYFAM20 at checkout for free shipping and 20% off. So you seriously might want to consider their ball toners and ball deodorant while you're there. All right, back to the show.
And then I personally like called and messaged each one of my closest friends at the time individually and had a conversation with them. Mm. And then I just did like a mass like Facebook post for like the randoms who, like, you know, when you run into old friends,
right?
Like, who are just like, oh, hey, I heard something, but I don't know if it's true or not. So I was just like, just to, you know, get rid of the he said, she said of it all. I'm gay.
Yeah. To fully put it out there, you know, for the estranged family or for the old friends or for anyone that
right.
isn't fully in your life anymore.
Yeah.
Definitely. Do you suggest, is that something that you suggest most people should do, is do a public Facebook post? If they're comfortable being out to their friends and family and the people that are close in their life?
If that's, well, it's always, you know, coming out's always a personal experience. It also always depends on your relationship to people around you. Mm. So like if you have a close knit, like group of friends, or even if you're really close to your family, because me personally, like I love my family, but we're not like tight knit. Like I love them, but we don't sit and have like family conversations and stuff.
Right.
So if that's something you're comfortable with and you like can do that face to face, then feel free to do that face to face. But some people, because coming out is, you don't, like, after you do it, you don't really think about it, but you spend, for me, I guess you spend all these years. I spent 19 years of my life just hiding the secret and just like being ashamed of the secret that nobody knew for sure about.
Yeah.
So like it's it takes a brave person to look somebody in the eye and be like, this is who I am. So, and I'm not saying, you know, it has to be face to face. If you can't handle that face to face interaction, then social media is a great way to get the message out there.
Yeah, totally. I always say, because I get a lot of people that ask, like, how is the best way to come out? I always say, do it in whatever way is comfortable or natural to you. Even get creative with it. Like, if you like to paint, I say, hey, make a painting that, like, represents your feelings or portrays what you want or trying to say. Just things like that. And that's ultimately going to be the best way. Like, you want to be comfortable doing it, and you want to make sure that you're doing it in a way that is representative of you. So I like that. And how did your family react to it? So your grandma had that conversation and said, don't be too gay, but how did your friends start to react in your environment?
My family, well, okay, so I can talk about my friends more than I can talk about my family.
Sure.
My family, I have been supportive, but it's more of a like a don't ask, don't tell kind of situation. Like I came out and I'm gay, but like I don't go to family functions and they're like, where's your boyfriend? Or you're like, you know, I've got support, but it's not like an invested support, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
They're dealing with it on their own terms, and like I understand it. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. But I'm lucky to even just have the support and still be a part of my family. Mm-hmm. My friends, it's 50-50.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm one of the lucky people who I didn't have a negative experience when I came out. I tried my best to be as genuine as I could beforehand, so I had really good friendships and really good connections. Looking back on it, at the time, I was like, nah, everyone's gonna disown the shit out of me. Like,
sure.
my friends were either like, what, like, you know, super surprised, or just like, yeah,
you know, they're chilling. Like,
yeah, I think one of my best friends, I told him, I was like, dude, I got something to tell you. He's like, what's up, man? I was like, I'm gay. I'm gayer than a gay goose at a gay goose pride parade. And he's like, that's fucking hilarious. Love you no matter what. So it's been like a really lovely experience. And just as I said, for the most part, like be like just being open and honest with them has been really fun. And it's something that you don't really think about as you're coming out. As once
Right.
you come out, like this like weird weight's like lifted out of your chest and off your shoulders where you like, oh shit, I don't have to use like gender neutral terms or like be like sketchy or like, you know, not be direct about like my love life or like my hookup life or like when that topic gets brought up, especially when you're like the majority of your friends are like straight dudes. I think that was one of the hardest things for me is just being like, because how straight guys are, they're just like they talk about like hooking up or like their new girlfriends or like relationships, and you're just over there in the corner like boobies.
And
Oh.
there, yeah, they show you Instagram models, and you got to smile and nod and go, I like that.
One of my best friends, he'll tell the story of like one of the times that he thought he knew, because we like used to chill in this little computer area where we all could just like sit and watch Netflix on like this big like computer monitor. Sorry.
No, you're good.
Sometimes we would just like chill on the internet. So my friend Casey was like really big on Reddit, and he would get on like the Reddit random page. And like, I don't know if you're familiar with Reddit, but like, you don't know what you're gonna see when you're popping like in like when you get on that page. So I mean, sometimes it'd be like explicit, like just boobs, like just naked pictures of girls, and like he would like look over to me to see if I was gonna say anything, and I'll just be like
Like,
T-Rex, like
well,
if
right.
I don't move maybe they won't notice. But yeah, that was one of the first things for me, because he'd be like, you're not gonna say anything? Okay, not allowed, but he'd think to his head, so like it makes him laugh every time we all have
It
like
got his
the
wheels turning, so he was like, oh, okay, this makes sense to me now.
same thing. He's like, oh, okay.
Do you experience a lot of homophobia that's also tied in with racism? Like, do you experience that extra layer of being both gay, which is, an oppressed group of itself, but also black, which is obviously an oppressed group, as well? Do you experience like a double layer of racism, homophobia?
Which side are we talking about here? Are we talking about from the black community or the LGBTQIA plus community?
I that's a great way to that's a great way to frame it, and I guess let's talk about both, because I do
Both.
know that it does exist
All
in
right.
both.
Well, I'll start with the my black the black community.
Sure.
It'll just be like, because it's always for me been interesting being inside a marginalized group inside of a marginalized group on both sides. So like, inherently when it comes to like the black community, it is where in the past, I don't know how more progressive it's getting. I'm hoping it gets a little bit better than what it is, because you know, with Black Lives Matter going on, anytime we're talking about a black life, it always seems to be a cis straight black life. We're not talking about the black trans women who have been murdered by the Baker's dozen at this point. Like, we don't
Yeah.
talk about those.
Five of them, I believe, were murdered in June
In
alone.
June, yeah. And we don't talk about Ayanna Dior, who was beat by 15 to 20, like 15 to 20 black men beat this one tiny person, like 180 pounds soaking in wet. Like, we don't talk about that. So, I was having a conversation with some black queer people. For me, I feel like just the, if I'm speaking as a whole for the, what I feel like three detrimental things to like, that add to, I want to say like homophobia, but just like the non-acceptance of queer trans black people inside the black community would be toxic masculinity. Because growing up for me, I grew up, that's another thing that really sucks, is like I grew up knowing I was gay before I knew I was gay.
Gotcha.
Because I would do certain things and get reprimanded for it. Like, you're not gonna be a sissy. Be a man, you
Put
know?
on heels or something like just child things, like fun
Yeah,
things that you wanted to do as
basically,
a
or just
child. It's
like
like, no.
existing or like saying like, oh, I say it like this. One of the, it's a TikTok that I made too, is one of the most like, my parents knew that I was gay. Like, there's no way that they didn't. I remember I was playing with my brother, and then we got into an argument or something, so I ran to like tell on him because I snitch on my brother, fuck him. And I'll go to tell my mom and dad something, and I look and they're watching Remember the Titans. And it gets to that scene where Sunshine kisses one of the main guys, and I turn and I see that. I'm like, oh, this is my favorite part. Just saying that.
Yeah.
And my stepdad was like, what? Your favorite part? And I'm like, oh shit, I slipped up. Like,
right.
I remember I ran to my room. I went to sleep. I was just like, I'm just gonna go to bed and say, like, fuck dealing with this.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, just that inherent need to be masculine or man enough. That's one of the main reasons I feel like it's really hard to be any kind of queer or a black queer man or in the black community.
Because the toxic masculinity is very prevalent, more so than in other cultures or other communities.
Well, I can't say like not more so, because like I know that I can only speak for like the black community, but I know
right.
The Hispanic community has like a real like machismo thing, like. Mm-hmm. A lot of like it's across the country, like toxic masculinity, like the whole, when it comes to like painting your nails or doing anything that's like seen as feminine is seen as less than.
Yeah. I had a guy on who immigrated from Mexico, and he brought up the machismo, the whole concept of it, and that everyone is raised super Catholic in Mexico and in those parts, and that they prop up the strong male alpha leader of, you know, that's what you're supposed to be if you're a male or if you're a man. And they have all these characteristics and traits of what you can and can't do. So,
so
toxic masculinity is a big thing affecting black people or queer black people. And then what else? What you said, there's two other things.
Yeah. Two other things. What I was about to add on to the toxic masculinity, sure. We probably will go into the third one, but the second one is like religion. I'm from Georgia. I was raised. My mom says we weren't Baptist, but I was baptized. Like, I remember that experience.
Yeah.
So you spend your entire life growing up in the church. Like, it's like my earliest memories is just like Wednesdays and Sundays in the church for like hours on end, and like I can tell you the times that they would talk about like homosexuality and how like if you're gay, if you're any kind of like that, like you're gonna spend all of like in all of eternity burning forever and forever. So like as a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old, that's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Especially because like you've already been like your family has already like hinted at you being like you don't have a concept of it. You're just a kid at this point, but like you know, so like you're like, oh my God, if that's true, then I don't want to be that. Like, why in the world would I? It's a very good scare tactic.
It gets ingrained so deep at such a young age. Early.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just remember going to church. I went to church up until I think 8th grade. I told my mom, I was just like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm just not like, I don't want to. I don't feel it. It's not a thing that I like to do. I would go like for special occasions, like, but I just had to stop just because I
know,
just like the sheer fear of like, so like, so a lot of the inherent homophobia comes from being super religious. Not saying all religious people are homophobic. It's just, it plays into the part of it, especially because most black people, especially in the South, especially in the Bible Belt, are raised Christian. Some kind of Christian.
Sure. Yeah, I went to school in Mississippi, and I went to Ole Miss.
I was watching the Nina Simone documentary last night, and just like Mississippi goddamn popped in my head. keep going, sorry.
Yes, but I mean, I saw it there too. I mean, you go, like, it's different because I grew up in California, but you see a church on every single corner in Mississippi, and you just see the way that, I'm sure George is the same. And you just see the
throw
the
a rock,
way
you hit a church.
The what? Every rock?
I said you throw a rock, you hit a church.
Oh.
Pentecostal, yeah, for agnostic.
For all these different types, Baptist. And then just seeing that, like, you know that unless you're like Episcopalian or unless you're like a one of these like New Age churches,
right?
They're all teaching that, like, you know, homosexuality is bad. It's a sin. It's this or that. And so having that much presence of religion or church in a demographic like that, or in an environment, in a state, like it ingrains the whole society, the whole culture, the whole city is like, is not accepting, right? Like,
right. And if they are, it's with conditions, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, my grandma on my mom's side, my mom's mom, she is an evangelistic pastor. She is a mission worker. She's gone on trips to Africa. She's, like, she's in it to win it, like. And I remember one of the conversations we had maybe a couple years ago, and I'll say, like, maybe we kind of had a little bit of a falling out because of it. And I mean, maybe she meant it with all good intentions, because I ran back the other day and read the message, but it was like along the lines of, you know, like, even though I believe in the Bible and I, you know, I have my religious ways and I think, you know, what it says is true, I still love you. Mm. So you're just like, all right, well, you didn't have to include the whole Bible part of that. Just tell me you love me, because, like,
right.
When you add in that Bible part of the conversation, what I'm hearing is, like, even though you're going to burn in hell forever, I still love you. Tell me about the guy you're dating. You're like, no, that's... what?
You don't have to add that.
Like, yeah, just keep that part in your head and then just tell me you love me and just go about the day, you know?
My problem with the religion thing is, like, I respect all religions and creeds and whatnot, but when you force it down, and it's funny because they say, like, we force LGBT down their throats. When you force religion down people's throats, when you're telling them they're going to hell, when you're saying you're a sinner, like, that's such a turnoff, and that's not the way to approach it. Like, I will respect you if you are religious. Just don't tell me that my lifestyle or my identity is wrong.
Yeah. You know? No, it's just like when you use your religion to reinforce hate or tell me that I'm less than, then, like, why would I be on board with that religion with you? Because, like I said, I grew up Baptist. I can't say that, like... It's weird for me because, like, I'm not Baptist. Like, I'm not a Christian. I'm not one of those people anymore. Mm-hmm. But, like, when I was going through that point in my life, like, the way that, like, I reconciled with it was that I listened to the main message of Jesus just being, like, love each other. Like,
yeah.
That's how I got through that time in my life. And I still carry that message with me today. Like, it's shaped who I am as a person. But it's not... been the system in play with the church. It's was my relationship with Jesus as a person, what he taught, what he preached, what he practiced was what got me through being told that I was going to burn for eternity. Like, I remember, like, praying. I don't know if you, like, the same thing is, like, you spend your nights as a child, like, when you go to sleep praying, you're like, don't, like, I'm not gay.
Yeah.
if you can get rid of that, that would be great. Until you learn and accept.
Good. I was using many nights laying awake, praying, crying, you know, take it away from me. Take it away.
And that's another thing, too, because you develop shame and self-loathing. And at such a young age, too, you hate this part of yourself that, like, you don't even really understand yet.
Yeah. Yeah, you hate it and you develop it, and it's so ingrained that even after coming out, you still are dealing with the trauma and the internal
shame. The internalized homophobia that you still some, like, I don't. It took me a long time to be okay with, like, the feminine aspect of myself. Like, I am, I present as masculine, but, like, put me around my girls, this my voice goes up an octave, and it's like, bitch, like, she comes out, like,
yeah.
And I love that. I feel like everyone needs to be at peace with every part of it. Well, not at peace, but at least be aware of every part of their personality and every facet of who they could be.
Yeah, aware. I like that. Aware and comfortable with it.
Yes.
So that's great. So how did you work towards being comfortable and aware of your other sides, like your femininity sides to you? How does someone who has this internalized homophobia and has been ingrained in this toxic masculinity and all this stuff, how did you work towards becoming comfortable with yourself and expressing yourself in the way that you feel comfortable?
It goes back to my coming out, that experience for me. When I went through what I went through, like I said, I spent 8 days in this rehab. I didn't even talk about that. I had a mental breakdown. Like, the facets of who I was gone. I had an ego death.
This before coming out or right after?
No, like, I came out thinking, like, okay, this weight's off my shoulders. I'm done. I can go back and just be a member of society. But, like, no, I did drugs. My brain was all over the place. My energies were still, because once you come out, there's still work to do. I ended up having to check myself into a mental facility, because like my paranoia, my anxiety, and my depression were still rampant, especially after coming out, because I was like, oh shit, everyone knows now. What does this mean? Who am I going to lose? How do I continue to be me?
Yeah.
So I get out of, like I said, I did my rehab. I did my 8 days. Sorry.
You're good.
And then I had to do the work of figuring out who I was and rebuilding myself from like the ground up, and then touching things that I hadn't touched before, like things that I've been like, I had to look at my feminine side and that thing that people were giving me shit about. Like, cause like I said, when you spend so much time being like, that feminine side of you is bad and wrong, don't do it. But to then have to pick it up and look at it and be like, no, this is, again, a facet of who I am. So it's like, for me, I would say a spiritual little thing for myself is like, I was sober. I'm not sober anymore, but like I was sober.
You're out of control now, right? Which is,
well, yeah, right. It was like learning about how, because one of the other show that I watched, The Sensei, and one of the things I heard on it that stuck with me was like, an addict, the thing that makes an addict is someone who, the need to escape reality. So for me, I had to learn after 6 years of using weed and alcohol and Molly and ecstasy and all these other things as a coping mechanism, how to be myself and how to be alone and how to using my full that on top of like being around, because I had to be around people. I couldn't find a moment. I like being by myself was weird and I didn't like it. So I was surrounding myself with people, and then just the toxic hookup culture, or what I mean, honestly, yeah. The experimenting that I did after I came out to verify my homosexuality, which is just like hooking up with just random guys who I have no connection with at all. I had to cut all that out. Like, right. I stopped hanging out with people so much and stopped being so codependent with my friends. I stopped drinking and smoking and doing any kind of illicit drug. Anything that I thought would be self-serving, I try to cut out. Or something, I don't want to say self-serving, but like any old coping mechanism I had to put down for a second and really sit with myself and figure out, like, who are you?
Yeah.
Because now that you've told the world this big secret, and part of your identity for so long was hiding the secret, how do you go on being you when, like, I had no idea who the fuck I was?
Right. You had come out and thinking that, okay, now that I'm out, this is my identity, but you didn't have fully realized your true gay self. Like, you acknowledge, okay, I'm gay, but you hadn't figured out,
what does that mean?
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. What does that mean? When you say your gay self, like, but you're like, fucking crop top, like rainbow flag, like glitter fucking everywhere out of the closet. Like,
yeah. Like, yes, queen.
No. But that version of myself that like includes every aspect of my personality and every facet of who I am. It's a lot of soul searching. And for me, like I said, I'm not a Christian, but I am a religious, spiritual person. Like, inherently, I lean more towards Western philosophies when it comes to like meditation, chakra building. Like, I guess because the Avatar at such a young age had a really big impact on my spiritual awakening and who I was as a person. It's like, if you follow Hinduism and you know about chakras and what each chakra means, I use that as like a guideline for a more authentic and real version of myself. Like, just using those building blocks to try and put myself back together and make sure that all these things, and I'm still in the process of doing that myself, but you have to sit, you have to be mindful, you have to be with you, because like at the end of the day, like your friends can't help you. At the end of the day, your friends can't help you figure out yourself, because they're not in your head 24/7 like you are.
Right. You have to make the effort to be aware and take a step back if necessary, which sounds like you did. You took a step back, a huge step back, And you have to be aware enough and actually do that. Because so many people, when they want to figure themselves out or they want to change or they want to better themselves, they say they do, but they don't actually do anything.
Yeah, so, there's the work. It's the work behind everything else. Like when you get that intention and you get that action, it's also like Princess and the Frog. If you watch like the beginning of that, when she's like, you know, she told me if I wished on that shooting star, then all my dreams would come true. And her father's like, that star's only going to get you half the way. That inspiration, that thought, that idea is only going to get you half the way. You have to do the work yourself.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to like something as detrimental or something as big as you, who you are, your effect on not just yourself, but like you're going to impact people. You're going to encounter people. How your energy affects other people.
Mm.
And who you're going to be in this life.
It's all intertwined. And how did, I mean, because I believe that positivity, like radiating positivity brings back positivity, you know, like the law of attraction. Yeah. Like you reap what you sow. Some people call it that, or that what you put into the world, you get back.
Karma.
Yeah. There's so many different ways. Like but yeah, I believe in that. And so like, when you take a step back and you evaluate what you're doing and you figure out, okay, well, who am I? How can I be a positive person? It allows you to like, it kind of cleans your mind and allows you to refocus your energy and your path on what brings you the joy and the happiness. Like when you drown out all the bullshit. So you do this, you take your step back. What did you actually do then to figure it out?
I had to find new ways to express myself.
So it was experimenting with, say, painting your nails or
Music. For me, it was like, I want to talk about my queer self. Yeah, it was that. It was experimenting with things that I wasn't allowed to experiment with. It was playing with that more feminine side of myself, and not just in the privacy of my own like room where like I'm watching something and like I can be feminine and I can talk back to the TV and be like, this bitch, like, but taking that into the real life and experimenting with my friends and opening up, like I said, if I'm around my female friends, then I get to be this like feminine version of myself that's more energetic, more like out there, more going, more fun.
Yeah.
Versus like, you know, not really playing with my emotions and also just getting in touch with my emotions. And like also when it comes to like for me sexually, I took that break for like just like the self-gratification nature of like hookup culture and what it wasn't beneficial for me, and it always felt like every time I left a hookup, like a very big part of myself was left behind or just like I didn't. So like as I think about it now, it's like if I talk to someone about losing their virginity or being a virgin or something, I'm just like, you know what, it's something. At the time, I wish I wouldn't have just jumped into, because I lost my virginity just to lose it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This person's gonna be in my head for the rest of my life. Like I'm never gonna forget this person, and this person means nothing to me.
Right.
So it was about having to like, what does being gay actually mean? How do I relate to other gay people and gay men, and what does a relationship look like for me, and what do I want to have a relationship? Because like, you know, straight people have all of like middle school and high school to figure out like that fun stuff, but you're 19, almost 20, like I've never been in a real relationship and I don't even know what that means or looks like, because everything that I've seen in my home life, like my parents aren't together, on TV they're straight, on movies they're straight, or if they're gay it's like white cis males, it's like, so it's, I don't know. It's a weird thing. That's something I've not thought about in forever or like even verbalized.
Totally. It's hard. It's just because we can't be ourselves, or a lot of us aren't ourselves growing up and in these formative years, like it forces us to get on these apps that have a lot of creepy old men that are just wanting to use you, or they're just having other people looking for the next dick to ride.
Right, yeah.
Like, you know,
worrying about that nut instead of like that. I want that emotional nut.
Yeah, and it's
I want to feel connected, and I want to be like, I want to actually talk to you. Like, I don't want to come and then be like, all right, yeah,
leave, peace out. But it's like, but it's because people and like, and a lot of us have to live in the shadows and run around corners and like be, you know, hide some part of ourselves, that it breeds this environment that's toxic to a lot of individuals. I mean, I'm okay with hookup culture if that's what you want to do, but for a lot of people, they're thrust into this as the only way to even, you know, experiment with themselves.
Exist. The only way, the only door into the gay community is through like hypersexualization and like, I don't know, like, so you sit there and you think about it. It's just like, for me, one of my first experience sexually was with somebody who, I was 19, this person was 39. This person's 20 years older than me. In my head, that's okay. Mm-hmm. In his head, like, that shouldn't have been a thing that happened, because I don't know the first thing about what's going on here, but you've experienced life more than me. So what you've done is you've taken advantage of someone who's literally just trying to figure themselves out.
Right.
I'm trying to sit here and have a conversation, and you're trying to get the net.
Yeah. That wasn't your first time, was it?
Oh, no. That was, not my first gay experience, but it was my first, like, sexual experience.
Gotcha. Wow. So you... On the topic of hooking up and dating and that type of thing, what – I know you said you experienced racism from the gay community itself. How does that present itself? Do you see it? What does that look like?
It's two very different extremes. Because it can be someone who – let's go to the racist side, where it's like – no fats, no femmes, no Asians, no blacks. I'm sorry, that's just a preference. That's not a preference. That's you disguising your blatant racism behind attraction. You know, a preference for me is like, I'm not going to talk to or date anybody who likes, like, I don't know, fucking fish. I'm not into fish. They're trash. That's a preference. I'm so sorry if you like fish, but I don't, and we're not going to be able to connect, because if that's what your personality is about, then I'm not doing that. But if it's because, like, I'm black, that's not a preference. You don't want to get to know me because of my skin tone.
Right.
Like, you have no like idea what that goes behind or who I am. You just see a skin tone and you go, no, thank you. Like, I know what I like.
Yeah. And that's very prevalent in, I would imagine, in Georgia, like, yeah.
Oh no. Listen, you come to like where I'm at specifically. So it's like I said, it's that extreme where it's like, it's just a preference, to the opposite extreme where if someone's hitting me up, BBC, you know, is it true what they say about black guys? Yeah. I've never actually been with a black guy, and I've always kind of, and you're cute for a black guy. So you're just like, so it's either you're like, you're not wanted or you're fetishized. And it's just like, because I had the conversation with somebody, not the conversation, someone messaged me. And that's another thing, is like, I feel like, I don't know why, like, I keep deleting Grindr. Like, right now I'm in like a semi like open relationship, and it's just like, for me, I get on Grindr out of boredom, because I like having conversations, and like,
right,
I don't really have that big of a gay community. So if I can make a friend or just talk to somebody, then hell yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm on it. Someone messages me and they say something like along the lines of like, you know, I've always thought about being with a black guy. So like, or like something about a BBC. And I'm just like, what about the person it's attached to? Like, I don't want to be fetishized. And he's like, how is that fetishizing you? I'm like, what? Your first opening statement to me wasn't even about me.
It was about your looks.
No, not even my looks. Just like the color of my dick. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. That's the only appeal that I brought to the table for you. So why would I want to be a part of that? Like,
and I know some. Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was gonna say it was different, right? Like they're making a point of saying, oh, this dick is different than.
Yeah, that makes you feel like you're like, nah, it's just a fucking dick, dude. Like,
yeah.
So for me, it's on that extreme too, and like, or. I don't know. I've definitely been called the N-word on fucking Grindr on multiple occasions. Like, not just one. And then just either, like, one, like, hitting somebody up and then being like, you know, I'm not interested, but that's how they say it. Mm-hmm. Or I've had someone to the point where one time they were like, this is just Grindr in general. His first message was like, pics. And I was just like, nah, I'm good. Like, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, called me like a stuck up N-word because like, I didn't want to send him like dick pics in like 5 seconds of knowing him. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, it's used after like rejection at the same time too. So you're just like, you can't win for losing sometimes. And I can say it like this. This for me is just like, I've gotten so used to like just the sheer rejection of being on dating sites. So it's just like most of the messages, if I send some out back in the day when I was trying to like actually meet somebody,
right,
it was like maybe 1 in 20 would respond.
Oh,
yeah. Or like 1 in 10, if I'm being lenient, 1 in 10 would respond. Oh no, let's say like 3 out of 20 would respond. No, sorry, 5 out of 20 would respond, and anything meaningful out of those would be like one in the five is something meaningful.
Would the rest be just like stupid or fetishizing or semi-racist, like just dumb?
More fetishizing, but yeah, stupid, like, and it's just the proposition, which is, I feel like that's just the thing on, I don't know how bad it is for other people on Grindr, but Grindr is just, it's trash. You don't get on Grindr if you're looking for anything meaningful. Or this is one of the things, is like, if I ever find something like meaningful on Grindr, I'm like, this is crazy. Like,
yeah, right? No, for
like
real.
If I can go like an entire, like, I don't know, 20-minute conversation with somebody when it's, you know, ebb and flowing back and forth, and like pictures don't get brought up or anything sexual doesn't get brought up, I'm like, this might be a good guy, you know? Yeah. And that's sad that that's like the baseline.
Right. Right. No, for sure. I mean, I just moved out to Los Angeles area, and so I got on Grindr, but I made it clear, like, I'm just looking for friends. Like, you know, so I've been actually had a great conversation with a guy. Seems pretty cool. He wants to do comedy. He writes comedy. And I'm like, dude, yeah. So we might hang out, but like, we have no pressure of a hookup or anything like that. And I feel like right. That's a great thing to have, but you have to be clear, and you have to be prepared to have to waddle through a lot of the assholes and the gross dick pics.
No, oh my god, just I think I made the joke. I don't know if I was on TikTok. Maybe I need to make a TikTok about this, but like, I was like, do you know how many times that I've fallen in love on Grindr? Zero. But you know how many unsolicited butthole pictures I have seen? Infinite. I've seen so many buttholes that I don't want to see.
Yeah.
This is not even like in random conversation. This is like opening message. Here's a butthole. And you're
like, it's just a butthole. Like,
you're just like, that's your opening statement. Like,
right.
Oh,
like,
just,
is that your worth? Is that how you start a conversation, by just sending your ass?
Yeah, no. And then you can go to the other point too. Is just like, I can't speak for, you know, I can't. The amount of just like, in the closet, like, I'll call them bi country men that I have like hooked up with in my past is just ridiculous. Mm. I think it's just for like what being gay can be in the South, or being any kind of different.
Mm-hmm.
Is because like, I think for me, it's a little bit, I can't say easier. It's just, I already have like, I'm already part of a like, my skin tone is something I can't hide, so I might as well, like, own who I am.
Yeah.
Versus, like, I know, like I said, just so many country, just masculine passing guys who hide a major part of themselves because they just don't want to deal with, like, other people's opinions.
Right.
When, like, I know that you're a bottom, like, you're a hardcore power bottom. Like, own that, dog. Like,
how can we all work together to end the racism that's going on in the gay community? Is it just taking white people and like educating them on all these issues? Like how do we do that? How do we educate them?
What if I was just like, if you figure out, man, you let me know.
Yeah. Okay.
No. But it starts with the open mind. I mean, it's the same thing with just Black Lives Oop, sorry, my phone's like 20%. Not saying this about the data. It just popped up and I thought it froze. It's just the same thing that we've been saying with like Black Lives Matter. This is part of being an ally, and I think as a queer community, we know what we want in an ally.
Yeah.
For someone who's advocating for the LGBTQIA like plus community, so just take that same principle and apply it to the Black community. Like, talk to your friends, talk to the twinky gay white males who think that they have a Black woman living inside of them. Like, that's not an okay thing to say. Like, or like, it's just having those same conversations that you're having with like Uncle Bill who's voting for Trump. You need to have the same thing with Ken who's dancing on the fucking pole. Like, some of the stuff you say is offensive and racist. And for me, it's always baffling. It's just the same thing with like the Black community and the queer community. To be a part of a marginalized group and then being queer, to be a part of a marginalized group and then have people who are marginalized within your group and you discriminate against them, what sense does that make when you are being discriminated against yourself? Like, it doesn't make sense to me to be like, you know, we're here, we're queer, get used to it, but like, keep your Black life over there. Or we're not going to talk about Black trans women, or we're not marching because this is pride and we should be celebrating pride, you know?
It's terrible. And I want to ask, do you experience more of this racism and stuff from a little bit older gays, like maybe above 25, maybe in their 30s? Or are you seeing that of all ages?
Well, when I speak on it, because like mine is coming from like an observational, like I see it on TikTok, I see it in social media and other forms, because where I'm at, like, that's another thing when you speak on the queer, I don't have like a queer community where I'm at. Like, for me, online is where I find my little family, my little people to run to and talk to.
Yeah.
But I mean, I want to say it's a generational thing. Like, you want to say that it's like older, because if you think it's older, then once they're gone, and we don't have to deal with it. But it's also just like inherent in like the younger, because I think it's a weird thing. One of the things I really think is just like, if you've been in a system and you've been in a place of power for so long, it must be so weird to have everyone else being like, I want a piece of the cake. Like,
yeah,
you know, share it. I don't know. I should be weird, because to me, it doesn't. We're not asking for a lot. We're not asking to run the world and be on top of you and say, fuck you, like, it's our time to shine. We're just saying, like, let's all be on the same playing field. Let's all come together and be together. It's a little systemic.
Equality isn't a pie. Equality is not like...
Exactly. What are things that for you? Well, and I'll say it anytime, it's like, I've had a conversation... when I'm talking about Black Lives Matter, when I say that, I'm not like, this isn't a controversial statement. Like, this isn't a debate topic. I'm talking about my fucking life. I'm talking about my right to exist. I'm talking about me. Yeah. Like, this isn't a debate topic for me. This is live or die. Like, if we don't change the systems in play, then who knows what can happen to any of us, especially Black queer people, especially for Black trans people, as we've seen just like, in this past year, the year before last, is like we get murdered and Black trans women get murdered and no one bats an eye, no one talks about it. Or if they do, these poor people, these poor women, because I'm talking about Tony McDay too, I don't want to just like generally just on Black trans women, but these poor people, these poor women have to deal with so much already, just figuring out their identity, because we know what it's like to have to figure out our sexuality and that part of ourselves, but trying to have to figure out, I can't even imagine what it's like to be trans. And I have so much admiration and respect for the trans community, just because like knowing how much courage it takes to come out as like a gay person, to come out as somebody who's like trans, who's like, I'm going to change my entire gender, my entire perception of me to fit what I think who I am. I can't imagine. So like, I have that brave, like,
especially in a society that's not as accepting, you know?
Yes,
like,
not even
thank
not
God,
just like not
being
even
gay is like somewhat accepted. Like for a lot of, like, you know, there's
yeah,
definitely homophobics and
yeah, for the broad part of the country, it's we. I mean, we have marriage equality, we have certain
right.
rights, but like I also live in a state where I thinking for my future is like I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay in the state that I'm in, because if I'm in, if I'm trying to stay here, then do I how. What about kids? When I want kids, can I can't adopt kids in Georgia.
You can't?
No. Georgia and Tennessee, it's like that's a law. Like not a law, but you know, they have the right to discriminate against.
There certain agencies can deny adoption.
Yeah.
Or okay.
Or there's like I'm spacing on what it's called, but it's like the family protection thing where it's just like, you know, we can say that like we don't feel comfortable or safe giving this child to a gay person.
Yeah.
Which is another thing I was saying, was like when people talk about when people aren't comfortable with gay people, but you're comfortable with a president who like is a pedophile.
Yeah, for real. A rapist, a racist, a sexual predator, like all of the above.
Yeah, you're like, where are your moral, like you have such high morals and you want to like put us all on such a pedestal, but like the person leading the country is nowhere near like on that moral level that you hold us to, but you just willingly like don't see him.
Oh, to see without my eyes.
Basically.
But the hypocrisy of that crowd and the All Lives Matter crowd is that they say that, but where are they speaking up to the trans community that's being murdered? Where are they speaking up to the fact that these kids are being denied going to a loving home and have to get stuck in an overcrowded, underfunded foster system? Like,
exactly.
They say all lives matter, but they don't even wear a fucking mask in the
right,
grocery
yeah,
store.
Yeah. You don't talk about, or you don't speak on the thousands of children in cages, the families that have been separated, the trauma that's going to cause. Can you imagine being like 4-year-olds and then like ripped out of your mom's arms and not even like your mom's in another country? Like,
yeah,
we're talking about the indigenous lives that have been lost, the women that have just gone missing and no one's like said anything about. Like, so when someone says all lives matter to me, like I want to be such a civil person, but I'm also the type of person who's like, pull up, like,
yeah, let's go.
Like, let's throw this in the streets. Because, you know, yeah, basically, because what you're saying is like, just say you're a white supremacist and just be done with it. Like, stop trying to use semantics to hide behind your racism. Or your xenophobia, or your transphobia, or whatever phobia you have. I don't understand why you're scared in the first place. I mean, I do, because you don't want to lose your power that you've had for so long. And it's weird to try to acknowledge. And that's something, so like, what I'm saying now is coming back to how can we, as a queer community, cross the aisle and be there for our Black queer people and trans people, is like, first and foremost, acknowledge that even though you are part of a marginalized group, you have a privilege. Mm-hmm. If even like, I know not all cis gay men have a privilege, because some of y'all don't pass for masculine, but there are so many people who being gay is putting on a hat, like basically putting on a hat. Like if you don't want anybody to know, they don't have to know. And
right.
that's you don't have to worry about depression. You're fine and dandy. But for some of us, for me, I'm a masculine passing man. If I wanted to, no one would know. And I can just walk about my day being a man, but I'm still Black. I'm still going to be discriminated against. I'm still going to face oppression no matter what. So it's about acknowledging the privilege that you have in your community.
Mm.
And then coming across the aisle and saying, how can I help you? And also,
right.
Not even that, because it's so weird to have like, someone I admire, Issa Rae, is just like one of her things that she said is it's like, it's weird when you have been like nominated to speak for an entire community, when someone comes to you and they're like, what can I do? And you're like, do the homework.
Yes.
Figure it out for yourself. I'm going to obviously say Black Lives Matter and have those conversations, but it's work that you need to do on your own, and also like addressing just like the systemic racism that you maybe aren't aware of in your head. Just like for the people who are like, this is pride and we should be celebrating Pride and not Black Lives Matter, or I'm not going to march because a black man was mean to me one time. It's like, that's not what this is about. Like,
ignorance is a tricky thing, because, or it's a weird thing, because it really is. I mean, there's definitely hateful people that are just like rotten to their core, but ignorant people,
rotten.
Ignorant people, they haven't learned yet. And the fact that we live in 2020 and have literal like extraordinary computing power in our fingertips, on our phones, 24/7. It's like, there's no excuse to be ignorant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, there's no excuse.
Right. Yeah, that's what you're saying. So like, ignorance is a hard thing to deal with. But what's even harder is willful ignorance. If you're ignorant just because like you're in a weird part of the country and you don't have the resources, or you've never been told to look something up, then that's a different thing. Hopefully we can get through to you and we can tell you our experiences and you can go, you know what, I need to learn something for myself.
And for the most part, I think, I didn't mean to cut you off, but for the most part, I think a lot of people come from that background. A lot of people, including extraordinary activists and people, they were raised in a bubble, maybe it was conservative or Christian, whatever, and they broke out of it. They learned over time.
Right.
Which is exactly what you're saying, like the encouraging of being able to research on your own. So
yeah, but then the other thing is like, and then having the opposite where you're having this conversation and someone's just like, put your fingers in the air and make the la la sound, like blatantly ignoring and like not wanting to hear it because it's uncomfortable or it's hard. Like, I just feel like, I think the only thing I can say is like, you have to acknowledge the blatant hypocrisy that you're in the act of committing. Mm. Being a queer person and being racist. Like, how? It does not compute. And that's the thing that confuses me, is because I don't understand. You are being blatantly, willfully ignorant and racist when you have yourself been put in a situation where you know what it feels like to be oppressed. Or to feel different or not wanted or hated or... just for being you, just for existing and living in a world, like living in a body that you can't change, that you, one, didn't pick. That's another thing that popped in my head when I came out to my mom, and she was just like, you know, I don't understand why you would choose to deal with this or be a part of this life. That was the third thing I was going to say, is in the Black community, it's like one of the things that's, I feel like where the homophobia may come in is like, you already know what it's like to be Black, and my brain's on a tangent, so sorry.
Oh, you're good. We love this.
But as a Black parent, you already know the struggle that your kid's going to have to face and go through in this life, and how much more they're going to have to work to be accepted and to achieve greatness or just mediocrity, because they're Black and they're facing that kind of discrimination. So I think it also comes from like a heartache place, because you're like, damn, you're already Black, and you're going to throw on top of it this queer identity. Like, just coming from a place of ignorance and understanding that it's not a choice. So like, I told my mom, I was just like, I didn't choose to be Black. So why? It's the same thing. I didn't choose to be queer. Why would I choose a hard life? Why would I choose to like feel rejected or not wanted places, or deal with like the self-loathing and the internalized homophobia and self-hatred and all this other stuff? Like, why would I want something to be harder for myself?
Right, so, and that's the thing that parents really don't understand, is that they are coming from a place of love, and then they're like, oh, we're sorry for our child because they're gay. Because they imagine that we're gonna have to go through so much hardships, which some of us do. We have to go through shit for sure. But and it comes from that place, and I think that is important to note, that if your parents say that, it's not because they hate you or don't like you. It's because it actually intentions. Is coming from, it's a good intentions. Yes.
Yeah. The good intentions don't, but it hurts.
But it hurts.
And for me, like, I had to tell my mom, I was just like, it's not a choice, first and foremost. Like, I understand you're coming from a place of love and good intentions, but your good intentions still are homophobic.
Yeah, for sure. Where do you see, and this is more of a personal, the way you've evaluated the world type thing, where do you see this Black Lives Matter movement going? Where do you see the rest of this crazy year playing out? Like, how do you, what do you think? What are your thoughts?
Oh, it's crazy. So, hold on a second.
Sure.
It's crazy because I don't know. For me, it's weird. I say it's weird and it's crazy. I don't know. It's just the way my brain is set up. It's so weird, and I'm trying to think of the way to say this.
Sure.
Is with everything that I've been through as a person, everything that I've had to deal with and overcome and accept and try to learn from as a person, like, I've always moved through this world as a very optimistic person.
Like, yeah.
Hope has been one of the driving factors in my life. Love has always been one of the driving factors in my life. So, I've learned to try to look through this world with an optimistic lens, but sometimes, like, there's pessimism. Like, I want to be hopeful, and I want to say that the world is going to, the state's going to open its eyes and see the injustice and see the murder and see the system that just needs to be changed and needs to be fixed, tore down and start over. Let's make 2020 a new year for America, and let's get the systems that are in play, like, let's replace them with ones that actually work and benefit the people. I don't know. I want to say that it's going to be a great thing, and it is. I love, you know, the way, as I say, or think about it, is just like, there's been protests in every state in this fucking country. People are screaming for change. We are tired of the status quo. We see the injustice, we see the inequality, and we know it's not right. So
I don't think it's good. Yes, it's not, the change isn't happening as fast as we want it to, but also I don't think that it's going to go away. Like,
well, no, you can't, for something that's so systemic, like, it's ingrained. This is like, you have that conversation with friends about police. Like, so many people don't know that the police force in America was started to police runaway slaves, to catch runaway slaves and bring them back to their masters, dead or alive. Yeah. So that's the foundation of what the police force is. It's so ingrained in our country that, no, we're not going to be able to get rid of it, but can we fight to make it better? Can we
speak up? I was saying the movement isn't going to go away. Like, we're not going until there's actual systemic change, and until there's equality of equity and equality of expression and livelihood.
On your fucking side.
Yeah.
Like I said, like, not the 4th of July that came around, like, I saw so many people, well, on TikTok, but in my friend circle too. You can go out here and cook your fucking hot dogs and hamburgers, but I'm still going to be over here like, there's injustice.
Right.
Why are we celebrating this shitty ass country? Like,
yeah, I didn't celebrate. I don't know.
I made
chicken and rice.
I made chicken Alfredo. I had chicken Alfredo and had a glass of wine.
Had a joint,
and I was just like, what fucking fireworks? And I was triggered by the fireworks. So I was like, can we stop? Like, maybe this isn't the time to be shooting off things that sound like guns in America right now. Like, it's triggering. That. And as what's been going on for the last month, maybe, like, firecrackers aren't, like, the best thing.
Right.
I agree with what you were saying is, I don't think it's going anywhere. Mm-hmm. I hope it doesn't. And that's one of the things that I don't like about TikTok and what's going on TikTok right now. Or, like, for the past month, where TikTok has been, like, you know, I got on one day and the first message that popped open was just like, TikTok stands with Black Lives, Black Lives Matter, hashtag Black Lives, hashtag George Floyd. But I try to use those hashtags and, you know, an hour later, my video has 5 views. So it's like,
yeah,
I don't want it to be treated like, it's not a trend. It's not a trending topic. It's not a discussion to have over a casual lunch. It's very serious. It needs to be addressed. It needs to change. And I don't see it going anywhere, because how can you? I don't think anybody's going to go back to normal. We can't.
Yeah.
2020 has been a year of the status quo has changed. We have seen the underbelly of the fucking beast, and nobody wants to go back to like.
2020, it was a huge wake up call, and it's been, and all of it happening at once is like, it should be the biggest like light bulb for everybody to realize, like, holy shit, we need to fix these problems. Like, you know, we talk about taking psychedelics, kicks you in the ass and makes you have self-realization. 2020 has been a kick in the ass on multiple different aspects, just the way capitalism works and Corona and lockdowns and Black Lives Matter. Like, the entire thing is fucked.
Yeah, we've seen that our healthcare system isn't working. It doesn't work for everybody. It's not fair for everybody. We've seen that the police system is biased, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. The 13th Amendment is trash. People think that we don't have slavery, but we still do, because if you're arrested, then you are a slave. It's the Constitution. There it is. You get arrested, they have the right to treat you free labor. That's what you are, dog.
Right. We've seen essential workers are, yeah, work, women's rights.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've seen that, like, women are autonomous beings and creatures and don't need a government to govern their bodies and their choices. And just not even for the fact that it's, like, just abortion. It's just, like, all the other amazing benefits that, like, Planned Parenthood provides for, like, just sexual education. This is just not funded. That's another thing too. I really wish that, like, I saw somewhere, I'm so sorry, but I saw that, like, I think Ireland just introduced LGBTQIA plus history is going to be taught in their schools to their kids, which is amazing.
Yeah.
America needs to do the same. And it also needs to normalize in sexual education, not just heterosex. Because I didn't learn anything in sex ed. I didn't learn stats. I didn't learn how to be safe. I didn't learn the practices or any prevention methods. I didn't, you know, we don't get that information. It's something that we have to go out and learn for ourselves. And you're just like, but my straight counterparts.
They got everything. Like, if we had that representation and education on it, as it would have made our lives much easier in our coming of age and figuring ourselves out. Is your phone about to die?
Yeah, but I got a charger right here.
Oh, you're good. So what inspired you to, what does your TikTok look like now? Cause I know you first got it and you kind of were just messing around on it, but what is your mission with your platform now?
My mission, lovely. My mission on my TikTok right now is, I just got a fucking ring light. That's what TikTok has done to me.
You're right. I got one too right here.
I bought it. I think we have the same one. That's dope.
Probably, yeah. You guys says Ubesize?
Yes, I got that one. Yeah. With the same, I got it and I was just like rolled my eyes at myself. But my message on my platform right now is one of, I've gone from just being like a goofy person who kind of joined TikTok, not for clout, maybe for clout, but also just to, like, as a performer, just wanting to perform again and want to be creative and have fun on an app. That's why I joined. But now it's gotten to the place where, like, what happened for me was I got a following and I wasn't expecting one.
Yeah.
And it got to such a place where, like, where I'm at now. I remember going into the blackout back in May, you know, not trying to decide, but like, am I going to speak out? Am I going to be one of the people who want to talk about things? And I'm like, I couldn't be a Black person and not, you know, I can't have this platform and just be a goofy goofball and try to make people laugh and ignore issues when it's, so it's become more of a satirical activism, but activism, informative, still some kind of goofy stuff if I'm feeling it. But like, really right now, like I can't, it's hard to try to be funny and make jokes when such serious injustice is happening. So I want to speak out and I want to bring awareness to certain things. And I want to be a voice for the Black queer community, because I never grew up with anybody like me on any kind of media or platform or seeing someone who was a Black queer person. I grew up with like Will and Grace and Charmed. Why did I say Charmed? You know, just like, that's, I want to speak out on things that no one else is speaking out on. And I also just want to provide a place for not just Black queer people, but for the disenfranchised, for anyone who doesn't feel like they've ever been seen, for anyone who feels like they're not a part of any kind of community or not part of any kind of party or friendship or family, like that they have a place to come to, even if like I try to be as interactive as I can, but I, you know, I'm making content for you. Like, I want you to see this. This is like, I want you to feel like you're seen and you're heard.
Right.
And it's okay to be yourself, because when you're like looking back on myself 8 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago before I came out, like it's really hard to imagine being yourself and having everybody accept you.
Yeah.
But that's what happened for me, is like I'm just being me, and it's I've got a following from it. People want to see my face. People want to hear from me. People want to talk to me. People want to be my friend. So I think it's not like a beacon, because that's stupid to say, but just like an example of like, if you just be you, there are people out there who will love you for yourself. And
yeah,
those weird things that you are afraid of being exposed or seen by anybody are going to be the things that people love you for and recognize you for and want to be around you for.
Be an example of confidence and authenticity and living your true self in your best life.
That's one of my favorite things. And this one of the things I've always said is my goal in this life before I am 6 feet under a tree, is I want to achieve like the most authentic version of myself. I want to shine a light. I want to be and know myself.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're not being authentic, if you're not being you, then what is it? Like, what's the whole point? That's one of the things I don't get about, like, people who have, like, TikTok personas, or they're just, like, you know, because life's not always like
the
that.
The token gays on TikTok that just kind of dance with their pride flag.
Yes. And,
yeah, yes. That irks me.
We're just, like, I don't know. When I love originality. I love those. I love weird people.
Yeah,
I love the freaks and if you can, one of my favorite things to do is this. I love sitting and having conversations with someone. If this was just like, if you were like, all right, we're done, and you wanted to end this and we could just keep talking, I would love that, because I love having conversations with people. And I love, my favorite thing to watch in somebody's eyes is when they start talking about something that they're passionate about or something that they love, is you see that like excitement, that joy, and they want you to be as excited with them. And I love that.
Yeah.
So if I can inspire that or get somebody else to do that, then fuck yeah. That's what I'm about. Come on my TikTok. And
all right. Speaking of TikTok, where can people find you? What is your social medias?
You can find me on TikTok. My platform is Token808. I don't know where it's going to be, but it's Token808 across TikTok and Instagram. My Instagram is, I'm not an Instagram person. It's there. If you want to come look at my pictures and see, like, I don't know, behind, I don't know the fuck TikTok. This is a weird thing to try to, like, promote yourself. My TikTok is where I'm at mainly, if you want to just Token808.
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram.
TOKIN808.
Yes.
Yep. Is there an underscore in it at all?
Nope. No. Just as you see it, Token808. Look for this beanie. I started wearing it, and it's become part of the aesthetic.
It's part of the brand, or the, as they say, the brand.
Basically. Yeah, I'm like, I start doing my as label. This is, I got my fucking ring light. I'm starting to do my merch now. So what my merch is gonna be is like, it's gonna be like my face, but like it's gonna be black. So you're gonna see my dreads, and then it's gonna be like this. Like, imagine my face, but like no face, like the outline of my face and this hat and my dreads.
Wait, I like
that. I'm bullshitting.
Oh, but now I'm like, well, you had me convinced.
Now I'm like thinking about it.
Yeah.
JK.
Well, you're a cool fucking dude, Anthony. I really appreciate you coming on.
Good conversation. I was like, I hope, can we be friends?
Yes, I would love to.
Oh my God, yes. That's another thing too, is like when you're sitting here having a conversation, I forget this is like an interview type of thing.
That's so what I love.
So tell me about your, like...
Yeah, no,
I want your story, too, at this
point. Well, we can talk about it. That's what I love about this podcast. And for anyone that's listening, like, these are just conversations. These are real. These are raw. And that's what we want, because that's like ultimately, you know, it's nothing
it's
fake.
Human
right?
interactions. It's yes, human connection.
It's what genuine.
You're saying is like, this is how you do anything in life is one of my main sayings, or the foundation of who I am, is in any relationship that you're going into, whether it be romantic, sexual, friendship, family, any kind of relationship you have with another human being, communication is number one. If you can't talk to somebody, then how are you, like, how do you relate?
Yeah.
Not even talk to. I mean, like, if you can't speak, if you can't sign, if you can't, like,
convey yourself and your feelings and what you think and about the world, it's
yeah you're done. I'm a person I hate. This is one of the things, like, my real job is I'm in customer service. I'm in retail. So I'm a server too. So I spend all day just being the, like, I want to say, like, not one of the fakest versions of myself, because you're just like, hey, how are you? You like, and that's an American thing, is asking how you are when you're not asking how somebody is. When you say that, you're literally just like, just say hey or hello. Because when you say how are you, you're just expecting good in you. That's what you're expecting. Right. You're not expecting, I'm dealing with depression and anxiety right now, and I'm afraid of the state of the world. That's how I'm doing.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like this this introduction that we've accepted when it's like not even, doesn't mean anything. It's so fake.
It's disingenuine.
Yeah.
And it feels so distant. So I'm a person who hates small talk. I can't. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're gonna, like, don't ask me how the fuck my day is. My day is trash, and I don't want to be here.
Yeah, well, I feel like when we joined the virtual studio, we kind of got right into it. Like, we didn't do no bullshit. Do you have any just advice or closing thoughts for anyone listening? Like, just what would you tell the world? Or your younger self?
Oof. I made a TikTok about this, so this isn't gonna be easy. I just have this memorized. You're not alone. You're as hard as it seems, you're not alone. There's nothing wrong with you. Mm. And it's okay to ask for help. Mm. As lame and, well, not lame, as cliche as it is, I think when I was first coming to terms with who I was as a person through high school, I knew I was gay going into high school, but it wasn't something that I was going to be open about, and I wasn't going to come out. I knew once I graduated, that would be a time for me. So I spent my high school career hearing it gets better. It was the first time that advertisement had started making its way around, where queer celebrities and queer famous people were saying, you know, it gets better, it gets better. And you're just like, oh, you know, you get tired of hearing it, but
yeah,
it's the truth. Mm. And what I've learned about, not what I've learned about, but what I'll go into say about it gets better is, like, you will find your people. You know, if you don't feel like you fit in your little hometown and your community that you're in now, that's the craziest thing about high school and your young years, is it feels like forever. It feels like that's your life. It feels like life or death. But you graduate, you move on, you go to college, or you start a job. The friends that you know in high school, if you're really, really close, I can't even say that. My closest friends in high school, I don't fuck with them anymore. Yeah. Like, that's not your life. You are about to start something new. You are going to connect with so many people. You're going to find your family. You're going to find your friends, and you're going to figure out who you are. So that's what I take away from It Gets Better. Reach out, talk to people. And you guys, I don't know too, because how old are you?
I'm 24.
24. I'm 20. I was going to say 25. I'm 26. So I'm 26. I just turned 26 in March. And one of the things, and this isn't still part of the message, but one of the things that I noticed going into Virtual Pride is they were younger people. They're, you know, someone's at least 10 years younger than I am, up to like 2 years younger than I am.
Right.
So one of the things, I didn't have social media. We didn't have social media. Like, Facebook was a big thing when we were going through high school.
Yeah.
Snapchat and Instagram were literally made the year I graduated.
Yeah.
There's so many different platforms out there. There's so many different ways to connect. If you don't feel like you're connecting with anybody in your own community, there's online resources. There's other places to go. think for yourself and question everything. Don't take anything at face value.
Yeah, love
Become
that.
Become autonomous. I love Become autonomy. I love
and,
it.
And find your people, find your family. There's so yes, many
your
ways
vibe
to
attract
do that.
Your tribe. That's one yeah. of the things. You put out that energy, you figure out who you are, you figure out what you want in friendship and any kind of relationship. You put that out there, the law of attraction, I believe, really works. Because like, I'm lucky enough to be surrounded by such an accepting, well, not diverse, they're all pretty white because I'm in the South. They're diverse in how they think and how they act and just their lifestyles. Like, it gets better. You get, so there's so much. That's one of my favorite things. Oh, one of my best friends from high school. We weren't friends in high school. We were, but we were more acquaintances. Mm-hmm. And I came across him on Tinder. And this is like mm-hmm. years ago, like 7 or 8 years ago. And I was like, oh, shit. And he messaged me being like, you know, I'm not out. I haven't told anybody. I would appreciate it. And I was like, obviously, because it's never anybody's business. Like,
right.
You don't have the right to tell anybody else's story. So that's not what I was going to do. So I got to be like, I came out probably 2 years before him. I got to be like a little like mentor to someone who's like the same age as me to watch like him go from being like such this baby gay to like in Atlanta, midtown. Like he's throwing like, it's, I love
he's it. He's shying across the dance floor.
Like. Basically, yeah. I love it so much. But it's like, that's another thing that's just so exciting is like when you finally coming out is like, the ancestors whisper in your ear, like, you know when it's time to come out. And when you come out, like, what you don't realize is you have so, this is just such a your doors have opened. Yeah. You've, like, started this whole new life. You get to meet these incredible people because, honestly, queer people are so much fun.
Yeah. They're there's this picture that I found, and it was like, I forget what it said, but it was basically like, I don't want this. And it was just basically like white silhouette characters, like white stick figures.
Yeah.
Just like standing there. And it was like, I want this. And then it was black, brown, white, rainbow, like all these different characters yeah. like dancing though. So it was yeah, like, yes. Like,
I love that. It's so crazy. You don't think about it. It's like, all you're thinking about is the dread and the sadness and the self-loathing. And I get it. I've been there. It's a hole and you're stuck in it. But once you see the light, once you climb out of that hole, there's a world that's just waiting to embrace you and just love you for you and figuring out who you are. It like puts a smile on my face because it's like it's a beautiful journey and it's such a fun ride. It's not always fun. It's not always laughs and giggles and glitter and rainbow yeah. flags. It's hard, but those hard struggles, that strife that you go through makes you you and you learn to love yourself. Mm. And just having people who love you is awesome. It's yeah. in any sense of the word.
Having that support and it makes it honestly, love drowns out hate. And if your family isn't accepting of you, there will be people that are accepting of you.
Yeah.
And so one thing in friend groups or online or wherever. And that is going to feel so special. Like we say in the gay community, like, a lot of times we find our own family.
Like yeah, we have you choose to. Your family. Yeah. That's one of the things is like I for the first time, like I said, I'm not in a place where I'm around a bunch of queer people. I have queer friends and people who have come out and that I've gotten close to, but like, I don't have a sense of community. And with Pride, I got added into like the POC, like the group of color. And that group of people has made me feel so seen and so like heard and it's like speaking the secret language that like I don't have to convey certain things because like
you're good.
I don't have to convey certain things because these people know they're like I said, you find sometimes you're not even looking for them.
Yeah,
but there are people who are literally just, you know, destined to be in your life. You just power through. It sucks, but power through because in the end it's worth it.
I have a question about your music. Do you play like your guitar or sing like on your live streams or at all?
Yes, I sing on my live streams. Oh, that's the only time I can really even go live. Is like if I can sit there and play and sing and I can have interactions, people can listen to me play and sing. But if I go live and it's just me, like for going yeah. live, it has to be something like this for me. It's like where I'm conversating with somebody else, because if it's just me and like I said, 7 or 8 people who are in my lives, just like
They're saying they're like,
yeah. Not saying anything, then it's weird. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What kind of music? I'm just like really interested. I want to like start listening to you. Do you have like, what type of music?
I'm an eclectic. It's anything that hits my soul and makes me feel like, because I'm not a singer. I'm not a songwriter. I can write a melody, but putting words to it's not my thing. I taught myself guitar because I spent 4 years. There's no way I wasn't. How obvious I was gay in high school is because I was a theater kid. I was in chorus. I was in band. Like, I did solos. I spent 4 years performing in high school. And then I graduated and I didn't have my friend who plays guitar for me around me to play guitar for me anymore. So I had to pick it up myself. So I taught myself how to play, pick some chords, find a song. Now I'll just pick it up and play a song. Learn a new song. If I hear something and it like sparks inspiration or joy or a certain kind of emotion, because like I said, for me, it's a grounding thing. That's what I've been. It brings me back to myself. It shakes off that weird energy. Like, it centers me and I love it. And my voice is like unique. It's like other people haven't heard it before. it's always the thing that I'm getting. Like, anytime someone hears me singing, they're just like, that's interesting.
It's different.
It's soothing. I've used it as my secret weapon on multiple occasions. If I'm in a relationship or if I'm like starting something out with a guy, I'm like, pull out my guitar, like, don't fall in love, and they're like, ha ha ha, and then I play a song and they're just like,
uh-oh. Gotcha.
And I'm like, oh no.
Sweet. So are you planning on putting your music out on any platforms, or is it solely just, like you said, a soothing personal hobby?
I put covers on my Instagram.
Okay.
Somebody, I don't know if he'll see this or not. One of my, a friend of mine in my hometown is like one of the music coordinators for a local dining restaurant, like a place where people come a lot and they have like live music, and he's been on my ass for like like 2 years to just come play. So I'm thinking about doing that. It's becoming a thing where it's just like, it's been asked for so long that I might as well, because like if I post something, someone's like, where can I find this? I've had people ask me for like my SoundCloud or my Spotify, and I'm like, I just do covers, so I don't feel like, like, it's so weird to try to, like, I don't know, try to not make a career or just, like, put music on to, like, Spotify that's just a cover. Like, you can hate the person who, like, made it, wrote it better. But I'm getting to a place where I'm thinking about starting a YouTube channel. that'll probably incorporate it in it. Because, like I said, it is a grounding thing, but I am a performer, so... Mm. The hole left in me by my abandonment issues from my parents, I try to fill with performing.
Hey, that's better than
admiration.
That's better than trying to shop it away or sleep it away or suck it away or smoke it away. So
true. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm not guilty of those, but like,
yeah, right.
I'm trying to replace that with something a little bit more healthy.
I love that. And you're gonna do acting too, or you are acting, right?
Yeah, no, I'm I am going back to school next month. I'm starting my college, it's never too late to go back to school. I graduated in 2012. I'm going back 8 years later and trying to get still trying to declare my major and figure out how to do this, because like I'm going to a school here in my hometown, and I'm lucky enough that like they started a theater program, but it's not like a master's degree. It's, or, you know, not a master's, not a, a bachelor's. So there's an associate's degree with a pathway to transfer out. And I act, I've been doing it for so long, but I also don't think that I'm at a place where I could just like, cause I'm in Georgia and Atlanta's like an hour 20 away from where I am right now, but I don't feel like I'm at a place, to just go down to Atlanta and be like,
to, like, make that move. That
I'm a very strategic person, and I I like having knowledge and knowing about things. Like, I can't, I don't want to go into like the film industry or acting with just a base, like, I know how to read a script and I know how to like try to put myself into the mindset, but it's like about learning like the methods and learning how to really get in touch with yourself. I think that's just empathy work, but also yeah. I just want the practice. I want to have the degree because it's one of those things where it's just like, you know, showing my dedication to actually trying to make this a career, because for me, acting is like just one of the purest forms of just like empathy and expression and mm-hmm. honesty. Because I mean, I know it doesn't sound like an honest job because all you're doing is pretending to be somebody else. And what I think is so beautiful about acting and why I'm so passionate about it, I think, is just to take a character and not only try to relate to that person, but to break down your ego and your personality and everything about you to get into someone else's shoes is, I feel like, something we need in this country.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think I have that experience from, you know, just my years of drug use. I don't know. It's not that hard for me to relate. And
to bring that emotion, to look at a character and to be like, okay, I understand what this character is going through.
Yeah, yeah. And then try to not only convey it, but convey it in a meaningful way and make it seem real. Because right. That's the other thing too, is I think my upbringing was so hard on me because, you know, like the whole sissy thing is also ingrained with your emotions. And I was an emotional kid. Like, all you had to do is yell at me and I start crying, right? Like, I was not that type of like authoritative, like literally raise your voice at me and I'm in tears. So like, it's, my emotions are right at the surface. I'm an Aries. And
is that a water sign?
No, it's a fire sign. It's like, I want to say it's cardinal. I think Leos would say that they're the cardinal. Like,
I'm a Leo, so.
Oh my God, literally. Yeah. You know, it's so crazy. Is anytime I talk to all my closest friends, four of my best friends, like my confidants, people who I go to and just like talk to about anything are all Leos. They're all
no blue. Way.
No, dead serious. Leos and Aries are like the best, like. That's why I was like,
we're tight. We're gang gang.
We could gang gang all day, every day. So like, I love Leos. That. Leos literally are my favorite people in the entire world.
Oh my God.
be my friend.
I'm here for it. We're friends. For sure.
I'm talking about like Airbnb, fly out LA. Let's go clubbing. Let's like
have
conversations in the morning in the mountain. Like, show me LA. Like, I am.
Dude. I'm down for it. I, you know, I need new friends. I'm just out here. Like, yeah. Do you know what Learning Skull?
I'm so bad with no.
On TikTok.
I'm a face person. If I talk to you long enough, then I got hatched, especially when it comes to like names and handles.
Yeah.
But if I talk to you for long enough, like, I know who you are, and I can express, I can be like, oh, this guy.
Right.
I have so many friends on TikTok now that I'm just like, I don't know their fucking names, but I love them.
I don't think I told you my name. My name's Ryan, by the way.
Ryan. No. I got it from the Queer Collective.
That's right. Because,
like, literally, like, you popped up and we had that first meeting, or my first meeting, and you were talking about, like, your podcast. And I was like, he seems cool, and I've never done a podcast. So I had to, like, find you. I had to search you. I had to hunt you down to figure who. No, also, Alphabet Mafia, dope name.
Alphabet Mafia, yeah, that's like the brand name, I guess, because I didn't use my personal, I didn't brand myself as like a personal account, but mm-hmm. yeah. Well, this has been absolutely great. I've had so much fun.
Yeah, no, same. I love this. This is so dope. Like I said, I know that it was like a whole conversation, but I feel like.
Thank you all so much for listening. You are all so beautiful and amazing. Make sure to check us out at www.thealphabetmafia.com. You can read our blogs there. You can support our brand. Get a sticker. Get yourself a sticker. That really helps us. It raises brand awareness. You put it on your water bottle. You put it on your laptop. It becomes more of a common thing seen around town. If you want to be featured on our YouTube show where I answer your DMs and emails regarding, you know, your situation you're in or needing advice, you can email us at info@thealphabetmafia.com. Again, that's info@thealphabetmafia.com. Just put in the headline LGBTQ plus advice, something like that, and I will try and read it and then use it on the show. Of course, if you need serious help, you can visit thetrevorproject.org or you can give them a call at 1-866-488-7386. If you are in need of serious help, please reach out to those people immediately. They will be more than happy to help in a tremendous way. Thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you have a beautiful morning, evening, whatever it is. Good night.